Welcome in, and here are your fantasy junkies, John Overby, Stephen Gilbert, and Frank Scott.
Welcome to the Junkyard. As you heard in our intro, this is the Fantasy Junkyard, your one-stop pod for fantasy football. My name is John Overby, and I'm joined by Stephen and Frank. It's August, and that means that our fantasy football drafts are really, really, really close. So how does that make you guys feel?
Well, it makes me feel really good. I think, as Frank can attest, sometimes it makes our wives a little bit less happy, but I'm excited about it.
John, I am giddy, man. This is like opening a Christmas present. I am so ready to talk fantasy, man, and draft and strategy. I'm good.
All right, well, let's hop right into it then. Yeah, hopefully today's discussion gets you even a little more pumped, because as far as I'm concerned, this is one of my favorite ranking shows. I really love finding like the gems at the running back and wide receiver positions. And today we're going to run through our consensus wide receiver three ranks, which go from number 25 to 36. And then at the end, we'll also throw out a couple more names deep in your draft to be paying attention to. But first, we're going to dig back into our email. And at this point, we really have to come up with a name for this segment, because we just keep getting them. So how do you guys feel about these segments being referred to as the junk mail?
Perfect.
You on board, Frank?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Answer
it. All right.
Yeah. I've got tons of it, so I should block it.
All right, so for the third consecutive episode, let's dive right into the junk mail. So today's email comes from Michael O. in Kentucky. He writes, "When I was a kid, I used to pretend I was starring in the Space Jam sequel, but instead of the Looney Tunes, I was playing alongside the Muppets. Would you watch this movie? Secondly, which Muppet would you like to have on your fantasy team?" So, fellas, we talked about this a little beforehand, and I think we're going to allow all Muppet-adjacent properties into the second part of that question as well. So that gives you Sesame Street. That gives you dinosaurs. I think Muppet Babies had some extra characters. So
Fraggle Rock? With that,
Fraggle Rock? Yes, Fraggle Rock's in that. So let's answer Michael's questions. Frank, we'll start with you.
Well, I kind of lead, man, this has been one of my favorite ones because I like cookies. I love the Cookie Monster. That guy just attacks, don't he? The cookie, he's just all over it. You don't have to wonder, is this guy going to eat a cookie or not? So my Cookie Monster that I think is going to have a big year this year could be some Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's a perfect typo for, he likes to run people over and likes to score touchdowns. And I'm sure if he got in the end zone, he would love him some chocolate chip cookies.
That's hilarious. I'll answer the first part of the question. Would I watch the movie? Well, I'm probably not going to go to the theater, but if it's on my TV sometime later and I happen to be watching it, sure, I'll check it out. I'll probably stick around and see what's going on. A lot of it would have to do with how good at basketball this Michael O is. Like, if he can really sell it, then I'm on board. I'm going to go with a guy named Thog. Do you remember him?
No.
He was a 9.5 foot tall blue monster. Okay. He was the biggest one I ever remember seeing. I had to look up his name, but he's huge.
Is this Muppets proper?
That's a great question. I think so.
Okay. I didn't know if this was Fraggle Rock or Dinosaur.
No, it was, it's from the show. I think 1970s when he debuted is what I saw on Wikipedia, which is always right. The thing about Thog, he's super nice. Like, he's really laid back and friendly to everybody. So we'd have to like encourage him. We have to let him know, hey, we're playing a game. And the only way our whole team can have fun is if you go break the other team. So maybe we could talk him into being nice to his own guys by destroying the others. Sleeper pick here is Miss Piggy, because she's big boned and she fights really hard for what she wants.
I like it. So to address the first part of this question, I probably wouldn't watch a Muppet-style Space Jam if it was Michael O. from Kentucky rather than Michael J. from North Carolina, if I'm being honest. So sorry about that, Michael O. But I think maybe the spirit of the question is, would a Muppet Space Jam movie with a superstar like LeBron James or Steph Curry be good? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. I love the Muppets. I ride hard for the Muppets. When the Muppets are at their best, they're right up there with the Looney Tunes in entertainment value for me. So I would be all in on the Muppet Space Jam. So the second part of the question, I was deciding between two Muppets, Sweetums and Gonzo. Do you guys know Sweetums?
I do know Sweetums.
Okay.
All right. So for all the listeners who don't know Sweetums, he's the big, huge Muppet in the Muppet movie that works at the car sales place and yells, "Hollywood." So I thought of him first because of his red zone potential, which it sounds like that's kind of where you went, Steven.
Yeah.
But do you guys remember Zach Sudfeld?
I don't.
Okay. So he was a big 6'7", 260-pound tight end who went to the Patriots maybe 5 years ago, and everyone was all over sleeper potential. And did a thing. So for me, that's Sweetums and every big Muppet to me. They're huge, but they're big softies. So that's why I settled on my second guy, and that's Gonzo. That dude ain't no softy. He gets literally shot out of a cannon, and he loves it. He's going to be a dream of a slot receiver. Undersized, but he has no second thoughts about going over the middle.
He has to be white, down for 150.
What'd you say?
He has to be white.
Gonzo can handle it.
Yeah, Gonzo, he's got it. yeah, mark him down for 150 catches right now. So what are you guys' thoughts about the Muppets in general? We'll just talk about that just for a minute.
I watched the Muppet Babies when I was very small. I watched Fraggle Rock when I was even smaller than that. Honestly, I haven't paid them too much attention since. I love Yoda. Frank Oz, awesome.
Yeah.
So you knew who Sweetums was, and you.
I knew who Sweetums was because I researched this question. That's how.
Oh, okay. Okay. What about you, Frank?
I didn't research it very much, guys. I love Steven bringing up Fraggle Rock, dude. That was the thing to be watching as a kid, and then I guess early I watched the Muppets, but. You know, if you get a little bit older, it kind of be, unless your kids are just saying, I got to watch it. No, I'm probably not paying much attention to it, but it's okay. I love the Miss Piggy reference from Steve, though.
Nobody's picking Kermit. That guy's way too soft and small.
Soft.
Oh, he's a good leader. He could be your quarterback.
Well, I don't know about his arm. Maybe a coach, offensive coordinator.
He might could be Sam Bradford.
I heard
all the time. Okay, average and hurt all the time. Great.
All right, guys. Well, so that's our third consecutive junk mail segment.
Nice.
So nice job, everybody. Let's keep that going. And if you want us to answer your questions, you can send them via email at thefantasyjunkies@gmail.com, or you can send us a DM on Twitter at @fantasy_junk. So as long as we keep getting them, we'll probably keep reading them. So,
and guys, we've been getting some good questions, man. It's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like them a lot. Keep them coming.
I'm afraid we're going to get billed as the animated fantasy football podcast with Darkwing Duck question and then a Muppets question. But
hey, we take all questions. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. That's kind of my thing. So. But so now that we've settled that Muppets debate, let's move on to our main event, our wide receiver three discussions. So our 25th and 26th wide receivers are teammates, so let's take them together. Golden Tate at 25 and Marvin Jones at 26, both of the Detroit Lions. So, Steven, why don't you tell us their average draft positions right now, and then let us know which of these guys you prefer.
Yeah, these guys, we've got them right together. We have Golden Tate just one spot ahead of Marvin Jones. ADP has them very similarly. Golden Tate is being drafted as the second pick of the fifth round as the 22nd wide receiver, whereas Marvin Jones is the 24th wide receiver as the eighth pick in that same fifth round. I like both of them. I think they're both values at this spot, really, because I'll take a look at Golden Tate first. His four-year averages are that he plays 16 games, which is great. He'll get 131 targets, 93 catches, 1,056 yards, and then 4.75 touchdowns. So that's consistent, right? I mean, that's 93 catches a year, especially in PPR leagues. That's fantastic. The one knock on him, though, is that week to week, he's much less consistent than you might expect. Last week, if you look at all of his points per game, even in a PPR league, 16 games, he scored fewer than 10 points six times. That's not good. That's for a guy getting a lot of catches. So even though he's highly utilized and always involved in the passing game, he doesn't always come down with a lot of catches. And obviously his touchdown potential is not extremely high. So I would maybe take Marvin Jones a little ahead of him. What do you guys think?
Well, I have them both ranked relatively low. I'm 29 for Tate and 32 for Jones. And my big reason for not liking either one of them is exactly what you talked about, and that's consistency. So Marvin Jones had eight games last year where he had three or less catches. Golden Tate only had four of those, but when he has those kind of games, it's disastrous because it's all underneath stuff. At least with Jones, he kind of has the potential to have a crazy long play if he gets held to three catches.
Yeah.
Both had only three games of at least double-digit targets, so neither one's like a target hog or anything. They both just kind of take away from each other to me. They'll both have great games this year, but it's a toss up to know when they'll be. I think fantasy football, I think of it as it's a weekly game. So if I don't know what I'm getting week to week from somebody, that's not the kind of guy I want. So I doubt I'll get either one of these guys in many of my leagues this year.
Well, guys, I had Marvin Jones last year, and I have to say I was more than excited to have him. Of course, he wasn't in none of my top two receivers, but he was a pretty nice add or flex option at times because he had nine touchdowns last year, and he could stretch the field. And in some of my leagues, we do the bonus for long touchdowns, so that can come in handy when you have Marvin Jones. I've never been a Golden Tate ever. I don't think I've ever drafted him. But if you got PPR, I guess he'd come – in handy. His touchdown rate, though, him and Julio could be best friends in that category. But if you get Marvin Jones with kind of a late pick, it's not bad to have a guy scoring nine touchdowns. And I guess I look at spot starting. Like if he plays a weak pass defense, it can come in handy in some of your leagues. He's a nice bench receiver. So I guess that's kind of how I look at both of them.
Right. So Marvin Jones, he's going as a wide receiver too, right, Steve?
Right at 24, so back into.
Right. So what do you think about him as your wide receiver too, Frank?
No. No way.
Okay. So if you can get him as your third guy, you like him because of that big play potential. And he can go crazy. But if you're relying on him week to week,
yeah,
that's not when you want
to. Well, I guess I'm thinking in my mind, of course, in our auction league, I've got Michael Thomas already in my back pocket. I'm not thinking, well, number two, you know, I should snag Marvin Jones. No.
Right.
I'm thinking about more high-level guys. I'm probably looking at the top 15 if I want a number two. That's just how I look at it.
Now, one thing I want to bring up here before we move along too far is, you know, you mentioned these guys are good for flex plays.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I mean, if you're a back end two or a flex, like a, you know, this is the wide receiver three show, you're not going to find a lot of guys on this list who are going to be incredibly consistent. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think that's anything to really put on these guys as a knock. I mean, sure, you don't want them as like your – if you draft him to be a high end too, he's not going to live up to that probably. But Marvin Jones, I mean, that's 1,100 yards and nine touchdowns. Now that's low catch rate. I mean, only 61 catches. But even in 2016, he started off incredibly well, and then he tapered off later on because of, you know, he was having some lingering injuries. And even back in 2013, with the Bengals, he showed he could be a 10 touchdown guy. So I've got him a little bit higher. I've got him at 21. I think that maybe he does still have some of that week-to-week volatility, but those big weeks, that's pretty nice. I mean, I would be willing to accept that as my two. Hopefully, I would have a nice one. But, I mean, John, do you not see him as sort of the Allen Robinson type? Like you were, you know, you defended him last week as a guy who could step up and be your one if you had waited on receiver. Do you not think Marvin Jones could step up and be a high level receiver for you if you waited on pass catchers?
Right. I think Allen Robinson's more talented than Marvin Jones, although that's even in question because of, you know, Allen Robinson's coming off injury. So just from the last thing we saw from Allen Robinson, I think he's a more talented wide receiver, but Marvin Jones has the better quarterback. So I do kind of see that. But my thing is, it seems like Stafford, it's not Tate and Jones are both going to have a good game. One of them will have a good game. And then you throw in Kenny Golladay. I think he's going to have a bigger role this year. So that cuts into both of them even more week to week. What do you guys think about that, the Golladay?
I like Kenny Golladay. He's big and he's fast. But he does not move like Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones at 6'2" is alarmingly quick. That guy's first step is unbelievable. I mean, he juked Xavier Rhodes right off the field in a game last year. Ended up catching a pass for a touchdown. He adjusts really well to poorly thrown balls. I know Matt Stafford is accurate, but he's not always accurate. I mean, the ball doesn't have to be right in his lap for him to catch it. He can adjust, go back, find the ball, catch it. I like him. I mean, 18 yards per catch last year is probably unsustainable. But I think he's talented, and I don't think Golladay's going to take his job.
Oh, I don't think he's going to take his job. I just think he's going to eat into it even more. I think he's going to be more involved than he was last
year. It's possible.
He's definitely not going to take Marvin Jones' job. I don't think anybody should be worried about that.
And don't forget Kerryon Johnson. Guys, what a name for a running back, Kerryon. Just give him the ball and let him carry on, man. I think they've got some spread issues, but, man, they seem to like to throw the ball. I think if they got more of a running game, it may even help their passing game.
Rising tide lifts all ships.
Huh?
All right.
Yeah.
So, Steven, take 20 seconds to answer this. Why did Marvin Jones only have 61 catches last year? Is it the routes that he's running?
Well, I guess it's more he's going deep a lot more often. He's not right. Typically the first read, I don't think. Golden Tate is that. I don't know if that's really going to come up. How many targets did he have last year? Let me see. Yeah, he only had 107 targets last year. Compared to 120 for Tate. So Tate was, I guess you could say, technically the number one receiver. But Jones does have a tougher he has tougher passes that he's trying to catch. I'll say that.
Okay. All right, well, we'll move on. I think my final thought there is I like both of them, but I would rather have them as a flex guy like Frank was talking about where I can just plug them in. And if they don't, if they do have one of those bad weeks, it's not like a killer.
Right.
So our number 27 wide receiver is Tennessee Titan Corey Davis. I'm going to guess we're a little higher than ADP, but I'm not for sure. I'm interested to hear this one. So why don't you let us know what it is?
You were very correct as long as you put little in all lowercase. We had him at 27. He's being drafted at 28th receiver as the sixth pick in the sixth round. Really? Frank, okay. What do you think of Corey Davis?
Well, I've been hearing some great things about CD. Seems like they said he's in better shape than he was last year. It almost makes me shiver to think that he could be really good because I've got an egg bet, I think, with John. He's not going to be a top – Mariota won't be a top 12 quarterback, so that would not be good if Corey Davis explodes.
Uh-oh.
But I'm hearing, guys there's some got a feeling that they think he'll be a 1,000-yard receiver, 8 to 9 touchdown guy. So I like him actually better. I think I like him actually better than Marvin Jones or Golden Tate. He's got all the skills and should be interesting to see year two.
So I'm surprised to hear the ADP is at 28. because we all, I think, really love Corey Davis's talent. Maybe everybody else is just that in love with him too. But so you're going to hear one of two things before your draft when it comes to Corey Davis. First one, 34 catches for 375 yards on 52% catch percentage. And that's if they don't like Davis. Or if someone does like Davis, what you're going to hear, 5 catches, 63 yards, 2 touchdowns. The first number is Davis's abysmal season-long stats from last year. And the second numbers are Davis's awesome stats from this team, from his team's playoff game against the New England Patriots. For me, neither of these stats are really – I don't really take them into account, and here's why. His season-long stats are trash because the Titans' offense is not going to look anything like it did last year because the Smash Mouth offense is officially dead.
Yay!
Thank goodness. Yay. So Matt LaFleur, he comes from the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay coaching tree, and even though he's never called plays before, I think you're going to see a lot of the innovative stuff you're seeing in Los Angeles. And Corey Davis is the most talented wide receiver on the roster. He should be the main beneficiary of that ingenuity. While I do like Davis's talent, I will just add that his playoff stats are a little misleading because that second touchdown was in total garbage time. He did look good in that game when it was still competitive, though. But let's not forget that the Patriots were also a trash defense last year. All I'm saying is when you hear that number, just remember the small sample size. And if you like Davis, it should be for more than just for that playoff game and his stats in there.
Now, I think Malcolm Butler played in that game, right?
Yeah, but he also got benched.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, thing about Corey Davis, I think he's super talented. He's big, he's fast, he's athletic, he's got a huge wingspan. But his route running, I think, is a bit clunky, I would call it. John, I think I've told you before, I watched Corey Davis try to do a double move on a guy. You know, he runs out and then tries to fake to the inside and then keep going straight and try to burn the defender deep. And it just looked sad. Like, it was bad. That wasn't nobody going to bite on that. So I think if he takes the offseason and works on fine-tuning some of those skills, his natural athleticism can lead him to be just a star in the league. And personally, I hope that happens because I have him in a keeper league. But, who knows what the offense is going to look like for sure. But I do think it's going to be better in some way. And like you said, he is the best pass catcher on the roster. Delanie Walker is solid. Rishard Matthews is solid. But those guys aren't great. They're not like going to go just destroy a defense. So Davis is the guy with the clear upside. If he can stay healthy, we haven't seen him do that yet. So that'll be the important thing for him.
Well, I think two guys is important is last year he didn't really get, like Steven said, he was injured. So Mariota and him didn't get to work in training camp together. And through the year he was nicked up. So if they can get a training camp in together, I think it'll be huge for him.
Agreed.
Right. So was Davis's route running compared to like other rookie wide receivers you saw last year? Was it just like first year, doesn't know the professional ins and outs of route running, or was it just even worse?
Okay. If we're comparing him to other rookies from last year, he was better because Mike Williams was trash and Zay Jones was probably worse. So
Right. Yeah. Last year was pretty bad.
Those are the two that pop in my head, and he was better than those two. Cooper Kupp, he runs a better route, I'd say. He's not the athlete, but Cooper Kupp can run around.
What about John Ross's 5 snaps? What do you think about that?
No comment. I saw someone post on Twitter, I scored more points than John Ross last year, which they did. So, I'm not going to talk John Ross yet.
All right, so we'll move on. So our number 28 wide receiver is Kansas City Chief Sammy Watkins. So, Steven, where's he going?
Oh, we're way off on Watkins. We've got him 28. Really? He's going 27. Oh. Yeah, we're riding with consensus. We didn't try to do this, but that's hilarious. His ADP is the 4th pick of the 6th round. I think with Watkins, you're going to get a lot of narrative one of two ways. One is, that quarterback has such a big arm, and there's going to be so many balls flying around, and Sammy's so talented, he's going to be incredible. All he's got to do is stay healthy. And then the other narrative is, can't stay healthy, We don't know if the quarterback's good or too many mouths to feed. There's no way they can keep everyone rolling with Hill and Kelsey and Hunt and Watkins. I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I think he is very talented. I mean, you watch him, and he's smooth, he's athletic. I don't know what his vertical is, but it looks ridiculous. But something weird about only getting 70 targets last year, only pulling in the 39 catches. Obviously, we like the 8 touchdowns. But do either of you have any sort of explanation why he wasn't a bigger part of the game plan, even while healthy with the Rams?
Maybe he's just not very good. Guys, he's not caught over 600 yards the last 2 years. It reminds me, since we're from Kentucky, it reminds me of an old Tubby Smith adage. He looks like Tarzan and plays like Jane.
Kalena Azubuki.
Guys, I am not drafting this guy. I don't care if he plays for the greatest offense known to man and the best quarterback. I don't see it. I've not seen it. I'm not putting my faith in a guy that's not done it. So if you guys out there want to draft this guy, I look for you to be on the waiver wire, and you're probably dropping him because he's just not going to give you the production. When you compare him, and we just talked about Marvin Jones, he's not even close. So I don't like him. I'm thumbs down on Watkins.
Well, I guess that would make me thumbs up on Watkins. I would think the 2 years ago was definitely the foot issue where he had 2 surgeries on it, tried to play through it and was trash and only played 8 games. Last year, I would think what it is so Sammy Watkins ran a lot of deep routes and Woods and Kupp kind of ran the underneath routes. So Watkins was more of like a diversion in that offense. It's not a great explanation. I can't believe he got 8 touchdowns on 39 catches. That's kind of crazy to me. but his upside is what keeps him at this spot. Like, I'm going to guess this is probably the lowest Sammy Watkins has ever been drafted.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So Frank is right. He's never lived up to the hype ever since he entered the league. You know, he was drafted as, I think, was he picked 4th overall in the draft?
I believe it was 4th, but it was higher than Beckham.
4th pick.
Right. So I'm still super intrigued by his talent, and Pat Mahomes could be really good, but he could also suck. I mean, you talked about the 2 narratives. I go back and forth on those. And I'm maybe not the best person to help our listeners with Sammy Watkins. I might always overdraft him, and that's my cross to bear, you know?
Like Josh Gordon, right?
Yeah, Watkins and Josh Gordon. They can line up on my team and give me nothing
every week. Any super athletic but very flawed people. Okay.
Oh, I love him. I can't stay away from him.
Well, one narrative I had heard a lot on Watkins was the fact that Goff struggled to throw the deep ball. So I went back and kind of checked that out. You know, I went to actually see what my eyes told me whenever I was watching his deep routes. And, you know, there's something, I think, to it. There were a lot of well behind. He would have a guy beat, and just the ball would end up late, and then the defender would catch up and knock it away. There were a few that weren't even deep. It was just like simple crossing patterns that Goff would hit Woods or Kupp on all day, but then for whatever reason, he would miss Watkins. It was surprising, and I can't completely explain it. I don't think Goff is a terrible quarterback, but somewhere along the way, Watkins and Goff were not on the same page. And now maybe that'll change with Mahomes. I hope it does, but it was surprising to watch.
Well, guys, let me ask you this. When you look at their offense, at best, he's the 4th option.
Well, maybe. I guess. I mean, Kelsey.
Yeah, I don't know if that's at best. Hill. I would say that's at worst.
Well, either
at worst, he's worth option.
Either how you want to plan it, he is not the one they're going to be looking to get the ball to. I mean, he may get some single coverage. I'm just not a fan, and you're going to have to prove it to me.
And there's a decent chance his foot falls off again. So.
Yeah.
Now,
well, I think this is a good draft price for him, though.
Yes, yeah, not bad.
In the past, you had to pay for Sammy Watkins' ceiling. I think his value is depressed a little bit, which, you know, that helps a little bit, I think, with Watkins.
But speaking of good draft values, our next guy, I think, is a great value where he's going.
Is that number 29, Marquise Goodwin?
It is, and we have him as 29th, but he's being drafted as the 42nd. We're pretty high on Goodwin. I have Goodwin the lowest among the three of us at 33, and I'm still well above where he's being drafted. So he's right at the end of round 9. John, you have him easily the highest at 20. So tell us, my friend, what do you love about Goodwin?
All right, well, I actually am at 21 because I made a little change, but we'll let that go. So I'm a little down on him than I was a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, so here's the thing about my Goodwin love. In all honesty, it's kind of a gut feeling. So it's so hard to know what to expect from the Jimmy G-led 49ers team this season. The sample size from last year is really too small. So 5 games isn't enough time to know where that offense is trending, especially because Garcon was hurt during that time. He didn't get any, you know, time playing with Jimmy G. But here's what I think. Goodwin is really good. A little wordplay there I didn't mean to do. But I know what you're thinking. He had 4 years in Buffalo where he did nothing. My counter to that would be Buffalo was a dumpster fire of an offense during his tenure. When Jimmy G took over, it's the first time he'd ever been in a functional offense, and he shined. Garoppolo's first 3 games started, Goodwin had 24 catches for 319 yards. The next 2 games weren't great. He went up against that crazy good Jacksonville secondary, and he got held for 3 catches for 37 yards. The next game, they blew out the Rams in a totally meaningless game for Los Angeles where the Rams sat everyone. So, you know, Goodwin only had 2 catches for 28 yards and a touchdown, but that's because they didn't need him. So if you just look at those first 3 games, which makes the small sample size even smaller, I thought they had some pretty good chemistry. The other argument against Goodwin is Pierre Garcon. Like I mentioned, you know, Garcon was hurt during that fire stretch for Goodwin. So here's what I've got to say about Pierre Garcon. Overrated.
Oh,
that dude has had 2 good seasons in his career, and the last one was in 2013. So he's 32 years old, and he's coming off a pretty scary neck injury for someone in their 30s. We all agree that Jimmy G is about to have a great season, and I'm just more comfortable having Goodwin as the primary beneficiary rather than a relatively old player coming off a major injury who has never even played in a real game with his quarterback. So that explains my Goodwin rank. Why don't you guys also talk about Garcon too while we're here? And he's our number 33 wide receiver. So we've got him pretty close.
Sure. Frank, do you want to go ahead and speak on Goodwin?
Yes, guys, I have. I like him. Like Steven said, I think he's a great late pick for sure. I come across this guy's, and I just want to throw this to your attention. There was an article a couple of days ago, and they asked Marquise Goodwin, asked him how fast he was. And they said this year he may be faster than ever. And they asked him a question in practice the other day, if he was the fastest man in the NFL. He quickly shot the question to his teammate, Adrian Colbert, who was walking by, and he said, "Who do you think is the fastest guy in the league?" And he pointed to Goodwin. So this may be some I think him and Jimmy G is going to have a nice connection, and they're looking at, for him to even be the number one guy, it looks like. So I like him. I'm not as high on Garcon. I'm just not. He's getting older. I just don't think he'll be the go-to guy. And so, like John said, how's he going to recover from last year? Be interesting. But I do like Marquise Goodwin.
One thing I didn't mention about Goodwin is even though he had a pretty good season last year, definitely he's the best of his career, he still only had 2 touchdowns. So my rank, he better have more than two touchdowns if I'm going to bet that.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my first point among, you know, debating the two 49er receivers. If you take Goodwin's games with Garoppolo, he would have had 87 catches if you extrapolate it to a whole season. 87 catches, which is great. 1,152 yards and then three touchdowns, which is not so great. But you actually made one of my points for me, the fact that the touchdown he did score with Garoppolo was against a Rams defense that wasn't really committed to playing hard for that game. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of touchdown upside to expect with the guy. You know what I mean? I mean, unless he decides to be Will Fuller and just not get covered deep on broken plays and kind of fall into several good touchdowns, I don't doubt. I mean, I have him ranked 33rd. I have him just below Garcon. I don't doubt he's going to have a good season. I don't doubt that he is very fast, although I think that question would be much tougher to ask if Tyreek Hill was sitting right there, just my opinion. But whenever I look at Pierre Garçon, I see a guy who is definitely a pro. I mean, he's 32 years old, so he's getting older, but by no means over the hill. He's coming off an injury, but he has been healthy for months at this point. I mean, I think he's a guy who can get open. He can still play. He's deceptive in his routes underneath. And I don't what I wrote in my notes is that I don't think he has concrete in his shoes just yet. Like, he's not completely iron-footed. The guy can still move a little bit. Clearly not as fast as Goodwin. I would never argue that. But I would say more touchdown potential as well as more high catch rate potential. John, you mentioned Garcon's only had two good years. Well, I mean, last year he only played eight games, but he had 40 catches for 500 yards. That's not great. But if he comes to the end of the year, with 80 yards and 1,000 yards on 80 catches, that's not bad. Now, he would, like Goodwin, have to improve on his zero touchdowns. But I think we can all admit the quarterback play in the first half of last year was not ideal. I think they're both decent buys. It does annoy me that Garcon is going two rounds ahead of Goodwin as the 32nd wide receiver. This is actually the first time in years that I haven't been targeting Garcon as a late round pickup, because usually nobody wants him. And now all of a sudden with Jimmy G, everybody's kind of jumping on board. But that's where I am. I lean a little bit Garcon, but both guys still have some upside to me.
Right. Are you guys at all worried about any of the other pass catchers on the 49ers? I actually like Kittle. We'll talk about him on the tight end show, I'm sure. But what do you guys think about Dante Pettis, Trent Taylor?
I wouldn't say I'm worried. I mean, having more weapons is fine. I mean, they're going to make so many pass attempts this year anyway. There's going to be a lot of love for everybody, I feel like.
Well, maybe what do you think about those guys' other talent? I'm not too high on them. I think Trent Taylor will eventually be good, but Garcon's kind of taking that spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Taylor has to be the slot guy.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I don't know a lot about Pettis. I mean, I've heard good things, but we hear good things about Christine Michael, so who knows? you know, I mean, maybe he's fine. I just don't know, so I can't speak on it. I'm with you. I like Kittle. I do think the running backs, because the Shanahan-led offense, they want to involve the running backs in the passing game. And McKinnon is better at that than Carlos Hyde, so I think he'll definitely be out there. Probably Matt Breida some, too, will be out there catching passes. So.
Right.
Yeah, so
I wouldn't worry too much about what they've got, guys, to be honest with you. We all see it. It's hard for rookie receivers to come in and make impact. There's just so much that has to deal with technique and footwork, and sometimes they struggle with routes, and it's just difficult. I think those will be his two main guys, with the tight end and McKinnon. I think there's your go-to four.
Right. Where I was going with that is, so we all expect, you know, we all have Jimmy G ranked as our 8th ranked quarterback. Mm-hmm. So where do you think his touchdowns are going? That's why I have Goodwin where I have him, because I think his touchdowns are bound to go up. If he gets 5 touchdowns and has, you know, 1,100 yards, that's a good season.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Good enough for where you're getting him for sure. Yeah, right. I mean, I would say they'll spread around. I mean, Kittle, I think I project Kittle will be involved in McKinnon, and then obviously Garcon, I think, will be better in the red zone than Goodwin, I would expect, just because of size and experience. But that's a great question. I mean, that'll be the million-dollar question whenever it comes down to who do you really want to own in this offense.
Hey, guys, can I throw this to you?
Yeah.
How many touchdowns is Jimmy, handsome Jimmy, going to give you?
I would think between 25 and 30.
Sounds reasonable, in that range.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a 35 to 40 guy. This quick, I don't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. We're actually running pretty long here, so we're going to go ahead and move on. Our consensus number 30 guy is Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Robert Woods. So, Steven, why don't you break down his ADP for us?
Yeah, we're a little higher. We've got him 30, but he's going as the wide receiver 38 as the first pick of the ninth round. He's actually two spots behind Cooper Kupp, which is unique. And they're both in the ninth round, which isn't that early, but they're also both behind Brandon Cooks. I think the problem with Woods is that we don't really know what to expect as far as targets or volume share for these three targets. We know Todd Gurley's mostly the touchdown maker. But Robert Woods did step up last year and had more touchdowns, five than he had the previous year, only one. He wasn't really targeted that much extra, or he had a few more yards mostly because of, depth of target. But I mean, he's really nice after the catch, and he showed last year, he showed me anyway, that he's really worked on his route running. And I think he's improved in that area. But, I mean, it's hard to say, because if this offense takes a step back, then all of a sudden these guys that are all getting drafted here weren't really worth the pick. But if they keep flying high like they did last year with Goff, then they'll all be worth it. So I guess time will tell.
Right. I've got Robert Woods barely ahead of Brandon Cooks as my favorite Rams wideout, and it's not because of talent. I think Cooks is clearly more talented than Woods is, but I do think Woods' particular set of skills fit more in line with what Goff is capable of than what Cook brings to the table. So, Steven, you mentioned in the last episode that Rams head coach Sean McVay will help Cook succeed because he knows how to get his best players the ball. But Sammy Watkins had 39 catches in 15 games last year, and right. Woods had 50 catches in only 12 games. So they both played three seasons together in Buffalo before that. And other than Watkins' injury-riddled 2016, Watkins was the superior talent. So I don't think Woods all of a sudden became more talented than Watkins. I think it was Goff. You know, Watkins played that field stretching role that Cooks is going to play as well. And although I do think Cooks is a more versatile player than Watkins, when Cooks does run deep routes, Goff just isn't going to get him the ball as much as he should.
And Cook is even faster than Watkins. If he's throwing short on Watkins, and that's projection, maybe he's working on it, maybe it'll go well for him. I can't say for sure, but it does worry me with Brandon Cooks.
Right. I didn't write down the specific stats, but I found a couple stats that showed that Goff was an accurate deep ball thrower last year. Mm. You mentioned watching film that it looked like he missed Watkins on everything, but I think the reason he was so accurate in that respect last year was that he was the fifth least aggressive quarterback, according to NFL's Next Gen stats. So, you know, if you only throw deep when you absolutely 100% know you're going to get it to him, that's when you're an accurate deep ball thrower. I think Alex Smith saw that last year too. And that's why he had, you know, better deep ball numbers than he had ever had. So maybe Goff improves on that and he starts taking shots, but I'm not going to pay big for Cooks when I've seen Goff, you know, he's had solid chemistry with Woods. And Cooper Kupp, for that matter, who I thought I was higher than the market on, but you said that he's actually gone ahead of Woods.
He is.
So maybe not. But before Woods got injured, you could really see that chemistry. But even in their playoff game, I mean, Woods had 9 catches for 142 yards, and Goff targeted him 14 times. I typically take talent first, but in this case, I'm kind of trusting that Goff sticks with what he knows and just really utilizes Woods this year.
Well, the question, guys, is how potent is this Rams offense going to be? I got a feeling it's going to be pretty potent with all their skill level players. I'm hoping that Robert Woods will be more efficient than Tiger Woods. That would be great. Because from last year, guys, Woods saw between 5 to 10 targets every game he played. And in 3 games, he saw fewer than 6 targets. So they've got a lot of weapons. That's the thing that I guess worries you as a fantasy player is how spread is this offense going to be? And then we all know about the beast in the backfield. And then you have Goff throwing the ball, which he looked really, really good last year. So I'm sure they're going to be one of the big picks to really be successful. I guess that would be my thing about Woods. Does he increase his level production with Cooks coming in? I think you're going to see a lot of spreading the ball around. So I'm not down on drafting Woods, but that would be some questions I would pose.
Last thing I have to say about Robert Woods real quick. You know, we talked about Golden Tate kind of having an up and down week to week situation.
Right.
Just so everyone remembers, Robert Woods through 8 weeks had 0 touchdowns. It was week 9. He had his crazy 8-catch, 171-yard, 2-touchdown game. And then he actually scored all 5 of his touchdowns in a 3-week span before he got hurt there. So who's to say if that was the beginning of a big breakout or just, you know, having some good games before he got hurt? I would caution people to not forget the first 8 weeks' lack of touchdowns.
The good thing about Woods is that – the draft price, it's okay if you're wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the third wide receiver. He could be the number one wide receiver. I think that's completely conceivable.
Yeah.
So
for their team. You mean Yeah.
Oh no, I don't think he could be the
No, he doesn't have it.
No, he does not have that. I mark that down.
Gotcha.
Although I think Brandon Lloyd did that once. All right. But anyway.
So did Mushin Muhammad. Okay, let's move on. number 31 on our list. We're low on this guy, each of us are. Jarvis Landry for the Browns. He's being drafted as the wide receiver 26 as the second pick of the 6th round. Frank, do you want to start us off on some Browns love?
Why not, guys? I've been telling Steven, I've been pondering fantasy strategy throughout my days, and especially at night. I'm just going over different things, and I know I've kind of been down on Cleveland because they're always sorry, but they've got some skill guys. The question is going to be, can they get them the ball? Landry last year, guys, with 112 receptions, PPR, that's pretty sweet, scored 9 touchdowns. Almost 1,000 yards. I guess the question all of us are probably asking, how does this translate to the Cleveland offense? Tyrod likes to throw the deep ball. And I'm kind of wondering, guys, if Mayfield may get in there games 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. And his accuracy in college was amazing. And there's 2 other guys that had amazing accuracy in college that some people doubted. Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. Not saying Baker Mayfield will be in that caliber, but to me, when you look at accurate quarterbacks, that is a huge stat coming to the NFL.
And right.
I like Jarvis Landry, guys. I know I may not have been too high on him, but he brings the production. So I wouldn't have him as my 1 receiver, 2 receiver. But, man, I would love if he's sitting over at 3 or 4, he's a nice guy to plug and play.
Steven, did you say a stat on here before where Tyrod has, like, the reputation of being a long or deep ball thrower but actually throws short a lot?
I would have to look that up. I can't remember it right offhand. I don't know, honestly, how relevant Tyrod is to the conversation. Does that make sense? Like, because that's the thing about the Cleveland Browns. Like, I couldn't tell you for sure who their starting running back is. I can't tell you for sure who their starting quarterback is. And even though I can probably give you a nice guess as to who is going to be out there catching passes, I don't know who's going to get targets. I don't know who's running what routes. There's talk now that Jarvis Landry's on the outside, which for the record is a god-awful idea. It's the equivalent of putting Wes Welker on the outside. I mean, this guy is short yardage. He's not fast. He's not – doesn't seem super athletic. He's quick. He's twitchy. He's deceptive. He's inside. He's, you know, short routes. That's how you catch 112 catches and only – don't even get 1,000 yards. I mean, you're not outrunning anybody. And even at that, he's to say he's going to be doing that over Duke Johnson. There's just so many question marks on this team. I mean, I can see the talent, and it's there. The one thing I would say is I don't think he's getting 160 targets again. That seems unlikely because whatever you think of Josh Gordon, he's better than Devontae Parker. Kenny Stills is fine, but he's probably not, you know, he's not really stealing a lot of targets. So that, I mean, that's, and I actually had Jarvis Landry ranked higher than Frank did. I had him 30th, you had him 31st, and here I am throwing out all these questions. I think he is a fine player. I'd have to get a pretty good deal on him. I will say this, if they decide they want to bring in Dez Bryant, which seems like now they're not going to do, but if they decide to do that, I drop everybody, just for the record. I drop everybody. Like, I think that even throws way too many question marks. And I wouldn't want any piece of it. But as it is, I would take Landry. If he's my three, I'm probably a little bit nervous, to be honest, just because I don't know what that offense is at all.
I think you're really underselling Landry by calling him a fine wide receiver. I think he's the best slot receiver in the league.
Oh, wow. Like
who's better than him?
Is he better than Fitz?
Yeah, right now.
He's better than Fitz? Is he better than Keenan Allen? He's not always in the slot, but he's running the same kind of routes.
Well, you could convince me Keenan Allen. I wouldn't call him a slot receiver. I also wouldn't worry about, you know, them experimenting with Landry on the outside. I mean, you hear those kind of stupid reports all the time, like Cole Beasley, he might be on the outside. No, he's not. they lined him up there a couple times just to see.
Julian Edelman, if he's healthy, I think, is in the conversation.
Yeah, I'd throw him in there. I'd still stick with Landry, but
maybe so.
So when I first started doing the ranks, Landry was actually even much lower on my list, but I'm coming around big time. And what I'm starting to come around to is the notion that he can succeed under any circumstances. I don't think he's ever had a great circumstance in Miami. I mean, what, Jay Cutler, Matt Moore, and Ryan Tannehill. Are any of them better than or worse than Tyrod Taylor?
You know? Yeah, they're worse.
So, right. So, he's actually moved up about 15 spots for me from when I first started, and he could actually get a little higher the closer we get to draft season, the more reports of Josh Gordon not being there and might missing week one. He might start missing week two, week three. Not that we've heard that yet, but that's probably coming. So, yeah, Landry's somebody with some upward momentum for me. And I think it's got to do with his talent.
No, he is talented. I didn't mean to say he's not talented. The guy has skills. He's just not super athletic. That's what I was meaning to get across. Erod, right. I'd say he will get his targets. He'll get his underneath routes. I just don't know if it'll be enough. Like, if he's going to lose some of his targets from his 160 – that means his catches drop to 80, maybe 90, and then he ends up being in Golden Tate range. And he's a short yardage kind of receiver anyway, and with a low touchdown upside, I don't know what to expect.
Well, those are his numbers from last year,
yeah,
right? And last year his quarterback was Jay Cutler, who has never been able to throw through a slot receiver.
Which last year he had the 9 touchdowns. That's what made him so unique as a slot guy. Right. But that's not going to be typical.
Right. Even if his targets come down, though, the fact that he's not getting those targets from Jay Cutler, I mean, he could stay the same in catches.
Possible.
He'll be getting more. Yeah, it's possible.
He's got great hands.
But
let's view it like this, guys. You're in the draft room. You got a chicken wing in your mouth. just sitting there. You've got your three top receivers already booked on your roster. You're needing maybe a fourth or fifth guy. And there he sits, Jarvis Landry. Do we not think that since he's on the Browns, people are going to overlook him? And he's not really a flashy receiver unless you really dive into his stats and look at him. Could he just be sitting there eyeing you, thinking this would be a great pick?
If he's my wide receiver four, I'm ecstatic. That's great.
What about wide receiver three?
Yeah, I'd take it. Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I, like I said, I'd be a little nervous about it just because I don't feel like I even have any guess as to what that situation's totally going to look like. And we have to remember Hugh Jackson is still the coach and he doesn't win football games. So, but yeah, I mean, if he's my three, I'll live with that. I'll be fine with that. I've got him 30th. I'll stick with it.
I'm with you. And what kind of chicken sauce is coming out of your mouth at that pick? Since we're junkies, man, it's got to be some junk sauce coming out.
You're gonna have to clarify that question.
What
kind of sauces we like on our wings?
My wing sauce. I would probably be eating Parmesan garlic about then.
Oh, okay.
No, just some buffalo. I like buffalo sauce. That's all good.
I'm a honey barbecue man, but since I came in last place last year, I guess I'll be eating whatever the hottest
yes, sir.
Hot wings is. So
I think it's called the death to John.
I think it's called atomic. You remember the atomic drop?
Atomic death.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to get us back on track here and bring up the fourth wide receiver who used to play for the terrible Bills. Chris Hogan. That's four in today's episode that used to be in the same offense and none of them could catch passes there. Go figure. But Chris Hogan is at 32. We have him at 32. He's being drafted as the wide receiver 25. ADP right at the end of the fifth round, pick 11. John, do you want to get started on the Patriot?
Well, I also want to say that we've had four former Bills. We've had zero current Bills up to this point.
That's a good point.
So I don't have a lot to say about Chris Hogan. I typically do not draft many Patriots who are not named Rob Gronkowski. They spread it around so much. Bill Belichick gives zero. He does not care at all about your fantasy football team, about anything but winning. And what winning does is you change it up every week. Nobody knows what to expect. So I typically do not have many Patriots on my team. What do you guys think about that? That kind of, it's not necessarily a strategy, but they usually, just because they have the Patriot name beside them, they usually go higher than I want.
Well, that's true, but I think it's more than just the Patriot name. It's the fact that the Patriots almost always finish as a top five scoring offense in the NFL. I mean, that's a lot of touchdowns to just go ahead and punt on. I do understand the logic because you don't know who it's going to be necessarily. You prefer that, you know, the dominant stud, which Chris Hogan is not that. I liked watching his tape, actually. Like, he's not bad. He's pretty fast. He's pretty physical. John, a few weeks ago, you talked about DeAndre Hopkins, how he's good at pushing off. Chris Hogan's not above it, my friend. he can push off and turn and catch. He does have nice hands, and he's fat. With his speed, though, he's not incredibly elusive or, like, he could possibly power through a defender and keep going. But he's not going to make a guy miss very often. Fun stat is that if you extrapolate his first 5 weeks of last season out to a full season, he ends with 864 yards and 15 touchdowns. And that's even with the first game of the season, him getting one catch for 8 yards. So that's an incredible amount of touchdowns. And obviously it didn't continue. But he's a big guy. He's physical. He's strong. He doesn't mind the push off. I don't know who's going to be their top weapon besides Gronk with Edelman out. That's going to be a great question. But I think Hogan is in play to definitely be a big part of the offense, assuming he can stay healthy, which he didn't do last year.
Yeah, that was another thing I was going to bring up is, you know, how confident would you be just injury-wise? You might can touch on that, Frank.
Well, to me, this offense, just look for the white slot guy. Seems like Tom Brady loves him some white guys that can just be a possession receiver. They've got Cordell Patterson. You've got Hogan. He's probably going to get some volume, but don't it seem like every time they have – seems like their go-to guy, he gets banged up. And the other white kid they always put in there, his name, he always got hurt.
Amendola.
Amendola. Everybody wanted Amendola. He played like 3 games a year. What about this name, guys? It might be Eric Decker.
Yeah.
He's not a quick slot guy, though. He's a he's the worst Chris Hogan, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's older. Yeah,
they're all probably going to get hurt.
Well, I think Decker has played slot most of his career. I mean, I'm remembering him in Denver.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm thinking he mostly does play slot, and that's definitely what they brought him in for, because they did have Jordan Matthews.
Well, you know, they do these reclamation projects, though. I mean, they did it with Chad Johnson, Malcolm Floyd. They brought in Reggie Wayne back in the day. They bring in these older guys just to see, does he still have it? And then sometimes they play Randy Moss, and then sometimes they get cut, everybody else. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll come in and make the team, or maybe not so much. Who knows?
I guess just draft Chris Hogan and pray he stays healthy.
Yeah, I'm going with that. I was going to say this. I would draft him over Landry. I would draft him over Robert Woods. And I would draft him over Marquise Goodwin.
Interesting. What's his ADP?
25th. You have him back at 41. I have him at
25. I'm with you, John.
Oh, I'm even a little behind, but.
Yeah, no thanks. Because I might actually end up with Julian Edelman this year. I might take that 4-game suspension and take that huge discount. Because when Edelman gets back, it's all over for old Mr. Chris Hogan.
But don't you know that Edelman's off his steroids and he's not going to be good anymore, John?
He'll figure something else out. He'll cheat another way. They're good at it.
All right, so we've already gone 2 minutes over where we usually go, or usually aim for.
We got 3 guys.
We usually go over every time. So let's take these last 2 guys together. So number 35 is Will Fuller of the Houston Texans. And number 36 is Carolina Panther Devin Funchess.
They are the exact opposites.
Yeah, I have Devin Funchess as reverse flash.
Oh, that's terrible.
Maybe the slowest guy we've had since the quarterbacks episode.
I actually put it into my ranks that he's the slowest guy I've watched this side of Samaje Perine.
All right, so what do you guys think about those 2 guys? Oh, and where's their ADP?
Fuller is going as the 31st receiver, as the 3rd pick of the 7th round. And then we have Funchess, and I just passed him up, going as the 5th pick of the 8th round at wide receiver 36.
Oh, we're right on.
Yeah.
And I feel bad about it.
Nah, I don't like Funchess. I'll tell you that. I just, watching him play is like, it's, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's like you see a deer being so like angelic and graceful and athletic, the way it can jump a fence and all this. And then Funchess is like the exact opposite of that. Whatever that would be. Is it a bear falling down a tree? I don't know. But it's Devin Funchess is not fun to watch. He's watching him and Kelvin Benjamin's like watching the same guy. They're big, not really fast, don't really seem that talented, but they're just huge and they get touchdowns. They're basically playing tight end out there. The one thing I'll say about Funchess is that he taught me how bad Terrell Pryor is, because Terrell Pryor is the same size and can't do anything. So.
Right. It sounds, Steven, like you call him Devin Funless.
Funless. He is fun. I like it. He is funless. If you want fun, watch Will Fuller. He'll go get you a touchdown.
Well, why don't you talk about Will?
Will Fuller, I don't, you know, his crazy touchdown rate last year, 28 catches, 7 touchdowns. That's ridiculous. That'll probably never happen again. But the guy's incredibly fast. I think that's his rate. He doesn't seem to be quite as elusive, maybe not like the great flashy route runner or anything like that. But, man, the speed he's got. And if Watson can continue to extend plays like he did, Fuller's going to run by some fools. So I think he's a pretty decent buy. I mean, 7th round as a wide receiver 3, I would be willing to take it. Best ball for sure, because he's going to have huge weeks. But I think this year you're going to have to understand that he's going to have some bad weeks too. I just think that's going to be built into it. He's not going to score a touchdown every week, but he will be the kind of guy who can win you a week.
Right. I think both of these guys are roster construction type guys. Like Will Fuller, you know, you got your safe guys, you know, guys you know are going to produce. Go get Will Fuller. I mean, everybody's talking about the touchdown regression, but they're not talking about he's still super fast. I mean, he still is going to make some big plays. He's going to be single covered because Hopkins, I mean, that's who they care about stopping. So he might even get, you know, single safety help on top, or occasionally, you know, less than that. And that's when he can take advantage. Funchess, I say he's a roster construction guy, because if you end up with a bunch of slot guys on your team, okay, you might go get Funchess just for the chance that he'll be your touchdown maker.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like that's his one thing. So I don't know. What's Kelvin?
That's a great question.
ADP.
Why don't you guys talk about something else and I'll look it up? Actually, I did see it earlier. He's 2 rounds later. Yeah, he's in the 10th round. I think the end of the 10th round. So if I had to pick between the two, I'd go ahead and just take, I think, Benjamin, even in Buffalo. Ugh.
Guys.
I'd probably just wait too.
I like John's assessment of
I'm still here.
Hey, you guys still there? Frank sounded like he hit super slow-mo. So what I think Frank was trying to say, if the listeners...
Well, it's a good thing we're 70 minutes in.
And no one's here listening at this point, so that's
fantastic. You want to jump to some sleepers?
So... Yeah. I actually had a little question for you before we do that. So that does it for our top 36 wide receivers. But I just kind of calculated this. Can you name the 5 teams we didn't talk about
Buffalo,
any other wide receivers?
The Dolphins.
Yep.
Gosh, it's got to be somebody bad. The Redskins. The Jaguars. Cowboys.
I think we actually hopped over.
We did.
Our number 34 guy.
I noticed that. Jameson Crowder.
Jameson Crowder.
He's completely not worthy of respect. He's a PPR guy who only gets 70 catches a year. He's actually a decent guy to watch, though. He's pretty quick, pretty fast, can get it done. Might be their top target.
This man.
I like him. With Alex Smith, I think Alex Smith is going to go back to his old ways and really target. Can you still hear that?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you there, Steven?
Yes, I do. I do hear the mumbles.
This is the wildest episode. Okay, I'm just going to talk over it. I'm sorry if I'm doing this to you, Frank, but yeah, so I like Jameson Crowder. I actually like Jordan Reed this year because of Alex
Smith. That's totally true, babe.
But yeah, so that's right. Yeah, but you're getting a
that's
super
true.
Discount.
Yeah, he's worth the shot.
So I mean,
Tyler Eifert might be the same way. Right. We'll talk about him later.
Right. Okay. So that's our 34th wide receiver, Jameson Crowder. So the Redskins are not on that list. Here they are: the Bills, Cowboys, Dolphins, Jaguars, and Jets.
I forgot Jets.
Jets. Yeah.
Well, I did mention. Okay. So I did mention how bad Terrell Pryor is.
Yes. So they actually did get in a mention.
And one of my sleepers is on one of those teams.
Both of mine are on one of those teams. So.
Okay.
Let's hear.
Have several. The first group I wanted to have are just the bad players in really good situations, guys. That's looking at Ryan Grant with the Colts. Decent chance of being their number two. I don't think he's that talented, but he'll have a shot. The other one's Geronimo.
What's this category?
This is the bad players in good situations.
Oh, okay.
The other one is Geronimo Allison. Probably good that we lost Frank because he'd have hit me for this one. I do not like Geronimo Allison. He does not seem that talented at all to me. But if he's on the field a lot and Aaron Rodgers is chucking it, he could score some points. One that people do believe in but I don't believe in is Josh Doctson. He's supposed to be their touchdown maker, and I just don't see it. He just doesn't seem crisp. He doesn't seem confident. The guy I do like, and you might hate me for this, because I think he's faster to me, and the numbers don't bear it out, but to me, he's faster than D.D. Westbrook. I'm talking Keelan Cole. The guy can move, the guy can play, and he's not scared to go over the middle, make a tough catch through traffic. I love his hands. I love his ability. I hate his situation. I don't know if he'll even be on the field. But if he gets a chance again, just like last year when he led the league in receiving for 5 weeks, he can put up numbers. That's Keelan Cole.
Yeah, I love Keelan Cole. I do not hate that at all. I think Westbrook's better, and my rankings bear that out. But I can definitely see myself with both of those guys because, you know, I could be wrong about Westbrook, and I think Keelan Cole's the second best guy on that team. And you can get him for free.
And what, completely free. And the thing is, neither one of them might play if they put Moncrief and Lee out there. So,
right.
I hate the situation. I mean, Bortles sucks, but I like him.
Right. Westbrook will still be out there because of the slot.
Yeah.
I mean, so. Well, one of mine actually is D.D. Westbrook. And can you look up his ADP
real quick? Yeah, let me check it out. Why don't you talk about Devon Austin for a second while I'm checking that out?
How about I don't talk about Devon Austin?
You want to talk about
Quincy? Well, I'll just talk about – I'll probably just talk about D.D. Westbrook.
He's at the front of the 14th round. He's almost free to.
Basically free to.
Right behind Devon Austin. That's dumb.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Bad.
Not far ahead of John Ross. I don't hate John Ross either.
I like John Ross as a flyer too. But yeah, I think I'll end up with D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole on at least a couple of my teams. Just one of them I think is going to be the lead guy, and you're getting him for free. I think that's a great pickup. The other guy I had was Kelvin Benjamin, who you can get in the 10th round, two rounds later than Devin Funchess. Sign me up for that. I don't know how Devin Funchess got as number 36 on our wide receivers. I'm kind of questioning your math skills. Not really, but I'm questioning our ranking skills then.
Well, two other guys that I've just noticed are in the 14th round, DeSean Jackson and Paul Richardson. They're well worth 14th rounders.
I'll still pass.
I definitely. And if you need a player who can score, get them. If you want upside, maybe not.
Right. Well, here's what I say about 14th rounders. Everybody's worth a 14th rounder except for Tavon Austin. So.
And Amir Abdullah.
Right. Well, is there anybody else you had to talk about?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that's going to do it for today's Fantasy Junkies. Sorry, Frank. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But he'll be back. He'll be back next episode. Don't you guys worry. So, and that next episode I just mentioned, segue, is going to look at our tight end ranks. And we may just do another segment too, because we don't need a whole episode to talk about tight ends.
No.
Although at our current pace, we probably will take it all episode. But as always, remember to follow us on Twitter at @fantasy_junk and to send us an email at thefantasyjunkies@gmail.com. You got anything to add,
Steven? I'm done. Good night.
Thank you guys for listening.